Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 177 of Getting It Out Podcast. That was Strangle You with Against Your Grain. I don't know much about them other than that they share members from Atlanta, Georgia, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they're part of the Haters Be Damned Collective, and that is the group of people we are focusing on this episode, primarily my man Luke Cave from Satisfy. A little more about Strangle You, I don't know. I asked the man for recommendations of what we should play on this episode, and this is one of the songs he suggested, and I couldn't agree more. It's the first I heard it just now, and I think it's awesome. Definitely has some of those Sheer Terror vibes. I'm sure they've heard that a million times. A little old school, a little new school towards the end. I like it. Good combination. Okay, so as I mentioned, this episode features an interview with Luke Cave. We're talking about his band Satisfied and their new EP, Chasing Progress. And I don't want to waste any more of your time with my blither blather. That's not even a thing that people say, but I'm just going to use it now. Blither blather. All right, let's get moving.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitches? It's the illustrious Hot Dog back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out podcast? He said, oh, shit, I gotta write a rap first, don't I? He said, nah, you don't gotta write a rap first. It's a hardcore podcast. He said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it. Make family out of friends. Make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family. Make friends till they bury all the places we've been. We're never sitting it out. We be getting it in. Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been. We're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in. Why you getting it out? Get it out! Alright, motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, J Money, and LFTW forever!
Okay, so here we are, back again. I'm back from a vacation. If believe it or not, you can take a vacation to New Jersey, and it's pleasant. It's not Pleasantville. It's another place that I went. My wife escaped town for a couple days, and we had a nice little getaway, and I got sunburnt on the first day, as I will do. My feet were pink. The tops of my feet are still pink. I don't know how I got so sunburnt so quickly, but that's what I get for being a pasty, white, pale, bald man. I was hurting, but I made it through. My feet are just itchy. I'm envious of the type of people who do not really sunburn very, very much. I know everybody does, right? I'm not that naive. I know everybody does get sunburnt, but some people can get away with it better than I can. Most people will say that. And I mean, I'm sorry, you redheaded people. That's your own problem that I can't help you with. But I can sympathize a little bit, right? I can understand your plight. You know what I can't understand, though? The amount of snakes that were literally crawling all over New Jersey. Snakes everywhere. Every kind you can imagine. Most of them black. So I don't know. I don't know my snakes. Although I did go to a zoo and see some extra snakes, but those didn't really count. But you know, I saw a loose snake. I saw loose animals at this zoo. All right. First of all, the peacocks are just walking around all over the place like they own the place, and they kind of do. Everybody's stopping to take pictures. One shoots out his big old feather spread. That's like 6 feet high. It's like as big as me. That's pretty impressive. But I don't understand why they just get to walk around. And when, did you ever hear a peacock yell? It's noise pollution. We'll put it that way. It's not like AC/DC noise pollution. It's unpleasant. Some people might appreciate it, but I didn't. And then I saw a snake. There was just a snake. Like, it wasn't part of the zoo. It was just there. It's dangerous. Can't have snakes just out here wandering around. Saw one on the beach. What was a snake doing on the beach? Why does New Jersey have so many snakes? Is that why people don't like New Jersey? I don't understand. It's okay, though. I'm home now in Pennsylvania. Summer has officially begun in our household. All the kids are off school. The parents are still working because that's the way it goes. No summer vacation for us. No 3 month summer vacation, I should say. But that's all right. I don't got many things to complain about. I mean, I do. Today I was complaining to my wife that I think mile markers every tenth of a mile is a bit excessive, right? Do we need every tenth of a mile? She brought up a great point that you need to be able to see when the next one is so you can reference your point. But I think we could extend that to 15ths of a mile, but then the sign's got to get bigger because you got to leave room for another decimal. And maybe that ruins the whole purpose because I'm just thinking these are a lot of signs. We've went through a lot of metal, a lot of sheet metal, a lot of poles making mile marker signs that I don't think get used very often. I'm sure they probably get used daily. It's like train wrecks. You know that train wrecks happen every day. You just don't hear about them because there's no people on the trains. I'm not saying they're robot trains. I'm saying they're cargo trains. Yeah, somebody was driving, but that's a train driver. Nobody cares about train drivers. What are they called? Caboose men? No, that's not it. Can't be it. Conductors. That's what they are. They're conductors. And it's conductors don't even, they get no respect because anything can be a conductor, right? Like when it comes to electricity, anything can be a conductor. And then you're going to name the guy who runs the thing something that anything could be. It'd be like if you called things like the guy, I'm getting really regional here, but it's like if you called cab drivers Johns, right? That would be disrespectful. I mean, there's enough disrespect to cab drivers, but if it was cab drivers in Philadelphia named Johns, like everything's called a John, right? Everything can be a John, just like anything can be a conductor. Are you following me, or am I losing everybody? That's okay if I am. I like to drag things out to the point where I have nobody with me anymore. Just like Russell Westbrook in his basketball career. Well, you'd think I'd be right about that, but no, he still has some fans, and I'm going to talk to one on this episode of the podcast, Luke Cave, as I mentioned, from Satisfied. We're going to talk all about Satisfied and the new EP, Chasing Progress, and we're also going to talk a bit of basketball, which I'm sure you are extremely excited for. This was recorded just before the Sixers eliminated the Washington Bullets from the playoffs, so timely? Not really, but eventually. You know, some people will know what I'm talking about. You'll get the reference. This is going to be airing on Monday, June 14th. So in just a few days, the Sixers will eliminate the Atlanta Hawks from the playoffs. And I'm trying to talk it into action. So that's where we're at right now. Let's get into this interview with Luke, though. But first, I want to play you a song off of Chasing Progress by Satisfied. This song is called Recycled Passion. Yeah. All right, so Luke, let's start this thing off. Where you're in Georgia, right? Atlanta. Are you in Atlanta?
I live in Columbus. It's about an hour and a half south of Atlanta.
Okay.
The rest of both my bands live in Atlanta, though.
How do you know everybody from up there then? Just being around?
Yeah, just going to shows and shit. Like any show I go to, I have to go to Atlanta or I go to Chattanooga. Or
gotcha.
Something. So I have a bunch of friends in Chattanooga, Atlanta areas.
Nice. So let's go back pretty early with you. How did you even get involved in all this to begin with, and with hardcore and heavy music, whatever, however you want to call it, your introduction?
Yeah. Well, I was going to 2004 to 2008 or so. I was, middle school to high school era for me. And, I was going to the big metal gigs that would come around and stuff. And so I had seen Throwdown, Hatebreed, bands like that, maybe even Terror. I don't know. But for sure, Throwdown and Hatebreed.
Right.
And, I didn't know they were hardcore, but I just those were the bands I gravitated towards, you know, and then just, as I grew older, got into it, about 08 or 09, so I'm originally from Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And there was this crossover power violence band from there named Jungle Juice. And their local shows were because I was used to going to the metal gigs and stuff. But just the Jungle Juice local shows were just on a whole different planet. Just the intensity, the violence, the adrenaline was just on a whole different playing field, and I was just addicted from there on. And here I am, 13, 14 years later.
Is that all it's been?
12,
you started getting involved in, what'd you say, 2004? Is around then?
Yep.
That's
that was more with the metal shows and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what was happening.
Yeah, that's
then. True. That was because I'm only a few years before you, maybe 99. That's what I always say. Maybe 99 is when I, started getting involved. But that 2004 era, there was a lot of shit that was being called hardcore that doesn't sound a single thing like hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't matter then though. Who gives a shit? It was all.
It's because that was the genre listing they had on MySpace.
Yeah.
If you went to the Devil Wears Prada MySpace page, it said hardcore.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everybody was a big umbrella before it broke out. But you're out in Arkansas, right? And there's this band Jungle Juice, you said.
Yeah.
When do you start finding yourself living it? Where it becomes the only thing you care about, because I feel like everybody who gets into it, that happens to them at some point, good or bad, it happens, where it kind of seems to be the whole focus.
Honestly, it was it was pretty much immediately. Even when I was going to the metal shows, the metal shows were becoming my life, and I was straight edge. I've been straight edge my whole life.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people who claimed right away when I was 14, I got a straight edge tattoo when I was 15, which in retrospect for most people would be a bad idea.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But for me, it worked out. But pretty much immediately, to the point that I ended up, dropping out of high school and stuff, cause I just didn't care about anything but, hardcore.
Right.
I would travel with friends to shows and out of state, Memphis or St. Louis or something like that. So, because to go to most bigger shows, you'd have to go somewhere else.
Right.
Being from Little Rock, I literally was just in it to the point that I skipped school too much and ended up dropping out, and then spent a few years couch surfing and stuff. And then, yeah, pretty much instantly became my life, I guess you could say.
Do you I ask this because this is how I feel about it. Do you regret it at all? Do you regret the level you got in, the level you jumped in? Are you happy with that you got that obsessed with it?
No, I'm stoked. I'm always stoked. Yeah. But I will say sometimes it sucks when you care so much and other people don't.
Right.
Like, I don't know. And like I don't know. I feel like I've given up a lot of my own time into this, and you know, I wouldn't trade that at all, but it has been hard. You know, honestly, I could never really start bands until I moved to Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, I would always try to put my best foot forward and try to start bands and stuff. You know, didn't really have the people to do it with me, and or just didn't have people committed enough around me. You know, people would be down to start one in name,
yeah.
But then, you know, when it comes time to commit some time to it, you know, that kind of sucks. I wouldn't say that's a regret. I would just say that's like, I guess, a problem with caring so much and being so into it.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. But you know, it's kind of been a surprise. Like the amount of people from Arkansas just in this past year that I feel like I've talked to, like the amount of people that have been involved. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, all right, okay, maybe I'm imagining a higher number than it actually has. Like I know. I know Stan from Terminal Nation.
Yeah, Stan Leszczewski.
Who the fuck else did I have? And then now I'm going to blank on who else. Maybe it's just the area I'm thinking of, that I've had all these people from Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, and in my head in Pennsylvania, that is all like I'm sure it's not. Like my geography's all fucked up, I'm sure. And you guys are all way more spread out than I imagine in my head. But there's just so many more people down there than I think I was ever aware of that are interested in and playing hardcore now and back then too.
Yeah, Stan was actually the vocalist of Jungle Juice as well.
Oh shit. All right. There you go. Nice tie-in.
Yeah.
So when do you start playing in bands? When does that begin?
So I moved to Georgia in like 2015. I started a band. I don't even want to say the name of it cuz it was pretty garbage, but
you got to say it. What was
but,
it?
But nah, I can't do it. We basically were trying to sound like Blistered, but we had like really shit production.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't good. But then we dropped like a 2-song promo at one point that was actually really good. Like yeah. I'll sometimes go back and listen to it, but because we had already done 2 EPs that had such shit recording, no one was going to go check out that 2-song promo. So we kind of shot ourselves in the foot by releasing subpar shit, you know? I actually feel like that hinders my bands now. Cause like people will probably, you know, I was promoting that band and then, you know, I try to promote my current bands and people are like, I've heard from this guy before. That's not it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that can be the,
it's all right though.
That can be the downfall of the ex members of.
Yeah. But they'll see us live in the, that'll change their minds.
Yeah, absolutely. So you move to Georgia and you start these other bands. When does Satisfied actually begin?
So Satisfied started in, I want to say like September 2019 is okay. When we started writing the demo, and then we dropped it in October 2019.
That's quick.
So it was like a really quick turnaround. Yeah. But we just got it instantly. So my buddy Wayne, who also plays bass and Living in Fear,
right?
He and I plus our original drummer, you know, I came to them and I'm like, yo, I want to start a band that sounds like Verse, you know, which Satisfied does not sound like Verse at all, but that kind of got us on the track, you know. And really, the demo just came out so smoothly. Like, it was so easy to write. And the new EP, really, we had written already a couple months after that.
Nice. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're good.
It surprised me that you say Verse. Because, like you said, it doesn't sound much like that. And you had mentioned that to me before. I mean, I hear parts of that, right? But not...
I think on a couple songs,
yeah,
you can.
Yeah.
I think on the new EP, there's a song called Problem Child.
Yeah,
I feel like kind of is a little more versey, except for the ending.
Yeah. But the that the versus a to me is a funny one from that era. Not funny because I remember like I'm looking. Well, let's see. I got some verse right. Was this the big one? Was that?
Dude, I got it on my wall right
okay,
here.
Yeah. There you go. I'm sitting in front of the.
I don't think that's the big one though. I think the big one's mainly aggression.
Okay. So,
From Anger and Rage, this is my baby right here.
That's the only one that I ever liked, I guess. Not liked. I think I had the other ones on CD, but I remember Verse playing, or they came around here all the time. I'm in Central Pennsylvania, by the way. That's where I lived back then. Then I lived in Baltimore for a long time, and now I'm back here. But we used to have this venue called Championship, and back when melodic hardcore was, everybody was playing melodic hardcore. Yeah, it was just, it was like every weekend was Verse and Have Heart. Somehow they were playing here in Lemoyne, Pennsylvania, basically Harrisburg. And it was constant. But anyway, out of all the bands that sound like that, that would be like the last one that I would go to. But I remember people really loved them. And
really?
Yeah. People were really into Verse at that time. And
see, to me, Verse is just very, like, I think they call it like sensational core. Like they're just so anthemic.
Yeah.
Like every single word is a sing along.
Right.
Like I eat that shit up.
I hear you. I get into that as well. But when you start this, and that's like one of the directions you want to take it. How quickly before that went off the rails?
Well, so, like I said, Wayne, who's the bassist from Living in Fear, he loves stuff like, it's actually funny because I hate shit like this. He loves stuff like Poison the Well and shit like that.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. But it's kind of funny because I do feel like, especially on the new EP, maybe not so much the demo, but on the new EP, it sounds like melodic hardcore meets Poison the Well.
It does.
To me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
there's some specific parts. It's the one Transparency, I think that might be the song where it's like, that sounds like something from Eulogy Records, and you know,
it's very nostalgic. That, and that's one thing that I really like, because we're kind of mixing two very nostalgic styles,
right?
But because we're mixing them, to me, it honestly sounds like something new. Like it sounds nostalgic, but new at the same time. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'd agree, and it's a unique sound. It's kind of, it's like we talked about before. It's hard to pin down, but like we mentioned, and like you're saying right now, it's not unfamiliar. In that the parts aren't unfamiliar, but the way, like you said, it's assembled makes it different and makes it cool and unique. Mm-hmm. And did there have to be any compromise with you and Wayne or anybody else in the band to say, oh, I don't know, like that part, but or you guys kind of agreeing?
For the most part, there's really no arguments about how things go. The only times are, so Wayne has a tendency to just write forever, and I like 2 minutes and less songs.
Yeah.
You know? But of course, him coming from that metalcore, post-hardcore, or, you know, they write 4.5 minute long songs.
Right.
And I'll be like, dude, we got to cut some of these parts out. Because I like a constant progression. Like I think Problem Child, as aforementioned, is like the only song on the EP that has like that verse, chorus, verse, chorus breakdown, like kind of structure.
Yeah,
you know, and one song on the demo does too. It's called Spirit. Those two songs have that very structurized style, while most of our songs are just like constantly building.
Yeah,
which I like.
Yeah, no, I like that too, and I like the short songs as well. But when you throw in like, but I think my favorite song on the CP, on Chasing Progress, is Problem Child. Which I don't know what that says.
Really?
You know, we'll get to this, because I was thinking maybe we just break down, not necessarily break down, but go through each of the songs here, since there's only a few. We'll get to that then. But let's just start with that. First of all, the EP is called Chasing Progress. There's an instrumental track on here, Chasing Progress, as well. How did that become the title track? What's the story there?
So the whole idea of the Chasing Progress thing is, like, you know, I'm not the person who I was 2 days ago. You know, I think with a lot of the things people do nowadays, they do a lot of talking, not a lot of learning.
Right.
You know, and that, I mean, that's, so if you look at the song, well, we're going to get to it, but Recycled Passion plays big into that. And then Chasing Progress, the reason I just wanted to name that track, so the EP was going to be named Chasing Progress before.
Okay.
Like, there was, because if you, you know, listen to the lyrics to Recycled Passion, the lyrics to Problem Child, the lyrics to Transparency, you know, they all follow kind of a theme of improving yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, so whether there was ever a song named Chasing Progress or not, that was going to be the name of the EP, because I felt like it was a strong theme, even though the words Chasing Progress are literally never said on the EP.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we wrote the little, it's really like an intro track, but I don't like opening an album with an intro. I don't know why. I like to use them more as like an interlude. Cause I feel like most bands, like, the interlude tracks are like wasted
as intros. Like,
they're just some, yeah. So I just like to use our intro like an interlude. So we wrote that, and it sounded like, to me, when I listened to that track, Chasing Progress, it sounds like something to run to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was just thinking, Chasing Progress, whatever. It is what it is.
No, it works, and it makes it, well, you never, progress is such a loaded word now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so that's why I asked, because, I mean, personal, societal, you know, societal progress, am I saying that word right? Society, progress in society. I wasn't sure where you went with that, and that also,
or personal.
That also leans into what I was going to ask about the rest of the lyrics on this is that, I think in my perspective of it is that these are more personal lyrics, but I can see how, you know, if you're open to whatever interpretation, I can see how it could be bigger than that, or directed in a different way. But you started this one off with Satisfied 2, which I guess is kind of a sequel track, right, to the Satisfied on the demo. So is this just intended as a continuation, or is it more of like a reintroduction?
So, no, it's intended as a continuation, because and this might be something we do across every release we do. We might have a track named Satisfied.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the theme of the band, you can get overall is, you know, I think existentially a lot, personally. And I think about basically the mark I'm going to leave in my lifetime, you know. Sure, it'll be insignificant.
Right.
But, you know, that's something I think about a lot. And I write about it a lot, is just wanting to feel satisfied at the end of the day when, you know, I'm like 80 and about to die, or whatever, like 30. Wait, I'm 30 now. Hopefully not 30.
Yeah, hopefully not now.
Hopefully not 30. But, you know, I just want to be able to look back on my life and say, you know, I'm satisfied with the impact I've left, the footprint I've made, the people I've kept to me, the people I've influenced, my sphere of influence, however meager that might be. You know, I want to be satisfied with what I've done. And to me, that's something I care a lot about. And that's kind of where the name of the band came from. And yeah, that's where those songs derive from.
I hear. And that's a fucking big topic there. And that's a loaded, I don't know, because I think about the same thing too. And I don't know that I ever could be. I don't know that we ever should be, but I don't know. You know, because, you know, what's your? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I like the concept of it. I understand where you're coming from. But as a song, it's a lyrics aside, it's a great introduction to what you're doing for your sound on this record, because it is like we talked about. It's the one thing that is there's no mistake is that this is like a hardcore record, right? There's no.
Yep.
Well, I'm not guessing what kind of genre this is when I get involved and you know when Satisfied 2 starts. When we move into Recycled Passion, what's happening here lyrically?
Yes, so Recycled Passion, that's where, like I said earlier, people do a lot of talking.
Yeah.
Not a lot of learning. People, you know, people have platforms, you know, and they just, like bands, for example, you know, they have platforms, and all they do is preach to the choir.
Right.
You know, which is cool, you know. I mean, if your crowd agrees with what you're talking about, sure, you know, talk to them. But when a band isn't getting, like, much of a reaction or something, and then they just yell like "fuck Trump" to get like some cheers or something, like,
yeah,
like good job standing for something. Like, I just hate that shit. Like if you're just recycling the same tired messages that everyone around you already knows,
yeah,
and already preaches, you're not affecting anything at all.
So you mean like every impassioned speech at a hardcore show where they talk about equality and inclusiveness, and it's like, yeah, no shit.
I mean, I want to say,
all right, not every, but
I don't want to say all of them, because I mean that is our culture. You know, the majority of us do share these same principles, but it's just like at a certain point, you know, talk about something different.
Yeah. No, it's fair. It's a good point, and I don't. Do you feel like that's especially more of a problem with people on the internet and in their echo chambers, just you know, making their posts? And that's something that I found funny. Oh, like you know, basically 4 years ago, when Trump got elected, and everybody says, "Well, this is going to make punk rock great again." You know, there's all going to be all these songs. There's going to be all these. You know, all this shit. And instead, it was just people making long-winded social media posts for 4 years to the people that they already agree with. And basically nothing cool came out of it, you know?
Yeah. Like, you're not turning heads. Like, you're not getting anybody to your side.
Yeah.
You're not changing the mind of someone who sees things different than you. And we'll talk more about that when like Problem Child comes up.
Well, that's the next one, right?
But yeah.
That's what I wanted to say. Recycled Passion. Before we move on to Problem Child, I wanted to say that song, a band that I was reminded of while listening to that song, was Blacklisted. And I'm not exactly sure what about it reminded me of that, but that's one that I heard in there.
I'll take that all day.
Yeah. All right. So Problem Child. I really like the lyrics on this one. I like what you're saying. I don't know if you're talking about you yourself. I assume so, but
yeah.
I mean, pretty obvious. But what is the message you're going for on this one?
So on this one, you know, I talked about how, you know, people don't change people by preaching the same message in Recycled Passion, right?
Right.
So in this one, I'm talking about how. You know, growing up, I was kind of shitty. You know, I think a lot of us were pretty shitty growing up. But throughout life, I gained different perspective. You know, and I learned from that perspective. And so, Problem Child is as much as it is talking about my own progress in life and how I went from, you know, fighting for recognition and shit on a school bus.
Yeah.
Whatever. To where I am now, you know, that's one part of it. But the other major part of it is when I say perspective shifts have created growth and I made changes that I couldn't make alone, you know, the people I surround myself with, you know, like I don't surround myself with a bunch of people who think exactly like me. You know, I don't surround myself with people who are going to always agree with what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, I like all my friends I can learn from. And if I do something stupid, I might get ridiculed for it, you know, but they're still going to be my friends. You know, we don't just write each other off because we did something stupid, which I think is the big thing to do nowadays.
Right.
Oh, your friend made a mistake. Let's just never talk to them again. Sure, that'll fix them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll help them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Problem Child, as much as it is about my personal journey, it's also like a shout out to my friends, you know. Because growing up, all I ever knew was my family, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a young white dude from Arkansas. Right. So who's in my family?
Right.
You know? But then, you know, thankfully, you know, I surrounded myself in the proper circles to where my perspective went beyond that. And, yeah, I couldn't be more thankful for it.
How old do you think you were when you started being aware of perspective? By acknowledging it.
Man, probably like 4 years ago.
Yeah. All right. No. I'm glad you said that, because I know for me, I can't tell you what or why, but I was probably, it was right before I moved out of Baltimore, which is like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago myself, where I started being like, oh, yeah. Shit, I don't need to, like, I don't know. So, I know for a fact it was from listening to somebody's podcast. I can't even give whoever it was credit, whereas somebody just kept talking about perspective. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, that makes all, once it gets broken down to you in even the simplest terms, like, that makes, it makes life a whole lot easier, too. But, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people don't understand the bigger picture, you know? They just find one detail and focus on it, hyper-focus on that, and then they miss everything else, tunnel vision.
Right, know? Right. Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. No, it's a simple but great concept. So from that song, do you go into the title track then? Is that what comes after that?
Yeah, okay. which we already pretty much hashed on that.
So that, and then there's transparency, like we talked about. We talked about the metalcore kind of influences on that song, and you know,
you hear that at the end of Transparency.
That's absolutely there at the end. Like you mentioned, the bands you mentioned, and like I said, it sounds like something from, you know, Eulogy Records in early 2000s. Anybody around from then will know what I'm talking about when they hear it. But there's some lyrics there at the end that I really enjoyed about not being able to turn the other cheek and not being able to be the bigger, and it was something that I could I could identify with, because even now, like, as you know, I'll be 37. A father of two, married, living in the suburbs, and I have a hard time just not, like, I agree, I identify with what you're saying here in this song. Can you elaborate what you're talking about here?
Yeah, for sure. So as you know, most of the album is about, you know, my journey and progression and kind of becoming a better version of myself. You know, day in and day out is basically what it comes down to. But transparency is kind of saying, okay, you know, have I really improved that much?
Right.
On who I am? Because when it comes to certain things, you know, I can't turn the other cheek. You know, I'm not always able to be the bigger man, you know? You know, I've got pride, you know? Yeah. I've got, you know, different things that make me want to, lash out at somebody or physically harm somebody potentially, you know, just like all these different things. You know, I fuck up daily, you know, and that's just what transparency is about. And it's kind of about, like, you know, you could tell from like the opening verse that I'm also kind of talking about dealing with someone. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of, it's along the lines of, you know, I have so many friends who maybe if somebody stops fucking with them, or like hates on them or some shit, you know. They're able to just, you know, flick it off their shoulder or whatever.
Right.
It's going to be another day. I care too much. like I can't just be the bigger man. I got to figure out what their fucking problem is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can handle it, you know, however that may be, you know. So that's kind of what transparency is about, is like, I still fuck up, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. The other day, my wife and I were talking about something with one of our kids, and she was like, well, I was about to tell her, and I was about to say, yeah. What I was about to say was so not the way my wife followed it up. She's like, well, I told him, like, you just gotta say hi and smile, and, you know, and I was like, I'm so glad you spoke first, because that is, I was dead serious, and I was not thinking a second thought about it. I was like, you need to do, and then she stepped in and said that, and like, oh, yeah, that is actually how you're supposed to do it, not the way, not what I was, like, I know that I'm wrong, but that was not going to be the way I was going to suggest it be handled, but... So yep. even small little everyday reminders like that, it's funny. So your next one, Father's Day. Now I liked Father's Day immediately, because I also wrote a song called Father's Day that seems not exactly the same lyrically, but it seems to have some of the same subject matter. Just going through the lyrics, is this song about you? First of all, I assume so.
It's about my dad.
And does it for you feel like this song has gotten anything off your chest?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. My dad will post ignorant things to Facebook, and I'll make fun of him in the comments, you know, right. over like what he's posting or whatever. But you know, this is just a more serious way of confronting the issue. And you know, he's heard the song.
Yeah.
My mom's heard the song, you know. It is what it is, you know. He's like about to be 60, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to change his mind on anything, but I'm still going to speak my piece.
Right.
Yeah. It is what it is.
It is. No, and it's a cool thing. It's again, similar things on my end for the one that I did. And almost the same, not the same subject, but the same response, almost word for word. But so this came out officially just yesterday, right? Was that what day we're on? Yeah, Tuesday. It came out Tuesday, June 1st, right?
Yeah, yesterday.
What are you doing releasing a record on Tuesday, like the old days? Where'd that come from?
I don't know. I was so we ordered records for this like a while ago.
Yeah.
So we've had this recorded for over a year. We ordered the records in February, and you know, they just keep getting pushed.
Yeah, you're not getting them until February. Pushed back. Yeah.
It's going to be next year by the time we get them. So I'm like, I'm not sitting on this shit for another fucking year.
Right.
You know? So I was like, let's just go ahead and drop digitally. We're not that big of a band. You know, we're not going to sell that many records online anyways. So what's the point in not dropping? You know? Most of the people who buy our records are going to buy a record because they're impressed from a live show. You know, that's just what it is. And we were in the, you know, the band group chat like 3 weeks ago, and I just had that thought, you know, like why wait?
Yeah.
Like we have a show coming up June 12th. You know, most of the songs we play in our set are from the CP.
Yeah.
You know, we want an energetic set, you know, so let's just fucking drop it.
No, I think it's a good move, and I mean, similar to what your boys in Living in Fear did as well, right? That one, I ordered that record like last December or something. That's, I don't know when that's coming, and I don't care either. But because that's the way that's the way it is right now, right? Like, I can't tell you the amount of pre-orders I have out there that I can't tell you. I don't know at this point. Like, and I understand that's just the way it is. I know a friend of mine who's putting out that Cold as Life record. He said he put that order in and it's coming back almost a year to the day, you know, like it's,
sheesh.
And that's a big run,
and
you know?
Yeah.
So a small label is going to have the living time. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So, no, you're good. Well, we did it DIY.
Yeah.
Too. We're doing it 100% on our own, which fuck is expensive. To me, living in fear and satisfied are in two different positions. Like, living in fear is going to have people order their record.
Right, right.
Satisfied, it's not going to have people order our record.
We
didn't set up a pre-order or anything.
Right.
We didn't set up a pre-order. We're just going to wait, and then once we get them, hey, we'll have them at our merch table.
Sure. Yeah. I don't think there's a wrong way to do it now. From all the bands I've talked to in the last year, almost every band has a different approach. I forget who I had on a couple weeks, but a lot of people are just doing their CD release or whatever, doing their digital release and then just saying, whatever, the fucking vinyl will come out when the vinyl comes out. And then some of them are holding them and then saying, fuck it, here it is all at one time. We didn't do a pre-order. We didn't do anything. Here it is, all available. Take it. But yeah, I don't know. It's a weird ass. I mean, it's like the rest of the weird. It's weird, the rest of the year. It's just, or years, I guess now. It's strange.
Yeah, if we can get a tour or something in at some point this year, we might get some tapes made or something.
Yeah.
You know, just to have that. But other than that, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Honestly.
No. Are you guys in a position that you could tour?
I think for the most part, yes. Just mainly small runs, probably like 4 or 5 day little bangers, you know. I don't think we could do like 2 week, you know, tour.
Right.
Yeah. But
I see people are starting to announce them, and that's exciting. But we'll see. I hope it lasts.
Yeah.
I think it will, but I hope it does. So we talked about Living in Fear a little bit, and I noticed that this is also on part of the, what do you guys call it, Haters Be Damned Collective.
Yeah.
What is that? Tell me all about it. I don't know if I ever talked to Kurt on the podcast about it, so you tell me about it.
It's just a group of friends, you know. Most of us don't really have like label support or anything, but you know, it's just good to have a little conglomerate between you and your friends to where, you know, you can go to the HBD website and check out all of our bands.
Yeah.
You know, you can. You know, it has hyperlinks to our band camps and stuff. Or I think, actually, so the guitarist of my other band, First Day Out, Jordan, he runs it.
Okay.
Like, the website. And I think he just got it set up to where you can actually, like, the band camps are embedded onto the different artist profiles. So you can sit there and listen to the music live from band camp while looking at merch or doing whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I came across that page after the last time I talked to Kurt, and that's where I found First Day Out, and that's where I found a bunch of, I didn't know the amount of projects you guys all have going on. It's a cool, it seems like an actual, like people throw around that term collective all the time, but this seems like you guys are actually doing something with it. And I found it very interesting. And it's a cool way to discover, you know, tangential artists, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So this, I mean, it's only been out for a day, but what's been the feedback you've heard from people?
Really good, really good. I've had people, you know, who I've never, you, so when we, usually when I drop music, you know, First Day Out demo, Satisfied demo, whatever, it's usually just people I know who hit me up and be like, hey man, I really like this, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, over the last day or so, I've had people I don't know hitting me up, which is cool, you know.
Yeah,
and I know there's you know, we got a show June 12th in Atlanta with Living in Fear and Strangle You, Minefield, some other bands. And when we play that show, I actually know there's, you know, And I just found this out in the last day since the EP release that there's actually some people, you know, coming from out of state just to like see this show. And you know, some of them are most excited to see Satisfied. And that's just, that's really cool for me.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, it's to have people excited in your stuff is, especially, I don't know, especially with coming off of all this. I don't know what your situation's been for the last year or so, but I know a lot of people are very excited to get out there, and especially to play shows. I know they're starting to pop up around here, but that's all right, because it can wait a little bit, because I don't know about you, I don't think so, but I plan to be watching basketball for the next few weeks.
You already know.
Yeah, so So we need to get to that part. That's probably the most important thing we need to talk about here, is that you have some explaining to do, because you yourself are an avid fan of this guy, Russell Westbrook, who this deplorable human being.
He's my favorite.
Who rightfully got showered by popcorn the other night. And maybe it'll happen again tonight, but we'll see. Which, I don't know if you noticed, that's why this interview was scheduled for 6 p.m. today.
Yeah, because the game comes on at
7. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm tracking.
No, so okay. So serious question about Russell Westbrook. What makes you like Russell Westbrook?
Man, I'm just a personality guy.
That is the worst possible answer. That guy is the worst personality.
No, bro. Listen, so my favorite athletes are Terrell Owens and Russell Westbrook.
As a Philadelphia sports fan, you're killing me.
Because good or bad, they're going to keep it real. Like they don't give your, you know, hey, we executed, you know, the other team, you know, they played their hearts out too.
Yeah.
You know, they give legitimate feedback on everything, and they're just actual human beings. And I appreciate their tenacity, their athleticism. Like Terrell Owens, for a wide receiver, absolute freak,
right?
You know, at the time. Now he's the wide receiver prototype,
right?
You know? But he was that before it became the prototype, you know. And Russell Westbrook, as a 6'3" point guard, averaging a triple double 4 out of the last 5 seasons. Say what you want about wins, I don't care. that is insane.
It is. I don't take anything away from what he does physically or what he does on the basketball court. And I agree with you on the attitude to an extent. My favorite, my idol as a kid, and even now still, unfortunately, to a degree, is Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley was like everything to me.
Dude, I love Charles Barkley. Because good or bad, there are things that Charles Barkley says that I disagree with, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But good or bad, he's going to keep it true to himself.
Yeah. And that's why I like
him.
That's why I like Draymond. That's why I usually like guys who are like that, but something about Russell Westbrook.
Wait, you don't like Russ?
Ah, God, no! I can't stand him. Until when Game One was on the other week, and again, I'm a Sixers fan. When Game One was on the other week, my daughter was sitting there watching with me, and she's like, and I was telling her, I was like, we got to watch this. You know, I was trying to make reasons for a 7-year-old to stay quiet and let me watch a basketball game. I was like, there's a bad guy on the other team, like, but I wouldn't tell her. I wouldn't tell her which one it was. I was like, you'll know when you
see
him.
Did she figure it out?
No, she just kept asking me if it was people in Sixers jerseys. Like, there's no possible way it's Tobias Harris. He's such a nice guy. It didn't work. But so maybe it's not as obvious as I thought it was. But yeah.
I love Russ, man. Like, I don't really, in the NBA, I don't really favor a team per se.
Right.
I just follow like my favorite player. And growing up, my favorite player was Dwayne Wade. But as his career began to dwindle, you know, Russ's career was on the rise.
Russ's career is dwindling, who's it going to be?
Hold on. He just averaged, you know, 23, 11, and 11.
This is the twilight. It's the twilight of his career. It's going to end. The season ends this evening. I hope.
Probably. I mean, the thing is, the Wizards, they, outside of Beal and Westbrook, oh my god, they have nothing at all.
Well, they had, like, they had,
like,
Bertans,
Rui Hachimura's, but... yeah, man. The thing is, he'll be hot one night and really cold another night, so you just can't count on him.
Yeah, I saw this. I saw a stat line for the other night. I forget which game it was, two or three, where he was. It was 0 points, 0 assists, 0 rebounds, yeah, 0 steals, 6 fouls, 24 minutes.
But then he'll have another game where he's like 7 of 7 on threes and like 25 points or something. It's like, okay. But, you know, Rui Hachimura is a good young player. Which Lopez brother do they have?
They have Robin.
Is it Brooke?
Robin.
They have Robin. Man, he's been getting that sky hook.
That hook is so ugly. I love it that it goes in. It's so ugly, though. Yeah, I don't know how he's making them, but yeah, good for him.
But overall, man, like, you know, I'm not a Wizards fan. Like I said, I don't have a team. I just follow players. But they just got nothing. They, like, outside of their stars, they don't even have, like, to me, they don't even have a playoff caliber supporting cast.
No, it's all Westbrook and Beal.
Yeah,
which happens to
which
be.
Which says a lot about, and look at, okay, you want to making players better. That's what I could say about Russ. What did Paul George do with Russ? Third in MVP voting. Paul George was third in MVP voting with Russ.
But Paul George is a perennial all-star, though.
But has he ever been in the MVP conversation other than that 1 year?
I don't know. But no. But then
I'm saying he took him to that next level. And then look at Bradley Beal this year. I mean, Bradley Beal's always been good.
He's a scorer.
Yeah. But he's on another planet this year.
Yeah, but they're still getting eliminated in the first round. You know?
That's probably, but that's not their fault. It's the supporting cast. They got nobody.
That's fair. They don't have anybody. I can't argue with that one. I'd like to argue with it.
Let's be real. The Nets are probably going to win. I hate it because each of their players played like half the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I hate that, but I mean, they're probably going to win the finals.
Yeah, it is. It is really annoying. Especially because, to me, I don't know a single Nets fan. Even back when they were in New Jersey, I never, you know. But suddenly, there's gonna be Nets fans all over the place. Which,
yeah. Some people like them when they added Paul Pierce and Joe
Garnett.
Johnson,
yeah,
and Kevin Garnett. Some people went onto that hype train, but then that fizzled out quick.
Yeah, but even going back to like the early 2000s when it was Jason Kidd and. And who else was on those teams that were going to the finals?
Carter.
Yeah, they were there in the finals 2 years, and I don't remember anybody from the back then. But whatever, I checked out. I gotta admit, I checked out for quite a few years when Barkley retired, and only came back.
Yeah,
only came back when I was living in Baltimore. I started trying to watch the Sixers, but they were so bad that they weren't on because it wasn't local TV. They couldn't watch them. It was when they were tanking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we'll see. I like taking the chance to talk sports on here because, one, I don't mind alienating my listeners that I know 90% of them couldn't give a shit about.
They're going to tune out.
Yeah, absolutely. They're already done. They're already out of this. Just because I think it's a stupid stereotype, or not stereotype, a stupid rule that, like, we're not supposed to like extreme music and sports or, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. But... All right, dude. So, tip-off's got to be happening anytime. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
No,
real quick, though, I just want to say, I know I said the Nets are going to win the finals, but those Bucks are looking good.
I'm feeling good about the Bucks, but I would rather...
Like Drew Holiday was a good addition.
Yeah, yeah.
That was huge.
He's a big step up
but
from Bledsoe.
They did lose Dante DiVincenzo for the rest of the season, though. You know, he's a good scorer. You know?
Yeah, but they got a deep bench, surprisingly deep.
Yeah, they are looking good. If anybody's going to beat the Nets in the East, it's probably going to be them.
Seeing I was, as a Sixers guy, being on the opposite side of the bracket, I was actually hoping to end up against the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals. Because the Sixers got Atlanta next, basically. And as long as they have...
That's tough.
It's not. If they have Embiid, it's a breeze.
I'm telling you, that's
if they have Embiid's out for weeks now, so we don't know. Maybe. They don't know yet, but...
He's out for weeks now?
No, I just really made that worse than this. He has a tear in his meniscus.
They about to lose to the Wizards if he's out for weeks.
He's out tonight. He's not playing tonight.
Yeah, I know.
So, it's a meniscus tear.
Are we going to game six, baby?
That's what I said it'd be, but oh well.
Nah, probably not. That's me getting too excited.
Well, we'll see. Hey, all right, before we wrap this up, the back to Satisfied. For people to find it, are you on all the social shit, or is there just what are you guys doing?
I don't think we have a social media.
I didn't think so either.
I don't really rock with all that for my bands stuff because I have social media on everything, and I already post enough stupid shit. I don't need to do it from another account. Like, my Twitter is only a First Day Out account. Right. That I sometimes post stupid shit from.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, but if people want to hear it, they can find it. It's on all streaming platforms at this point.
Yep.
And there's a Bandcamp page.
Yes. SatisfiedGeorgia.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You made a tough one to Google. Satisfied Hardcore.
It's not HC.
Well, no. I mean, you just can't type in Satisfied Hardcore and get the results you're looking for on Google.
Yeah.
All right, Luke. Well, hey, thanks for taking the time to have the conversation. The new EP is awesome. The demo is great too, but the new EP is better. Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. We got to. Okay, one more question regarding the EP. The recording quality. You brought it up to me that you wanted to keep it raw.
So we just. I felt like the demo was too polished. It was very well recorded, and maybe for the sound of the demo compared to the sound of the EP, it was fine.
Yeah.
But with the way this EP came out, I wanted it to sound like it. Like, so many bands do the styling of 2004, you know, 2002, 2000, 1998, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so many bands do that styling, but the records don't sound like they're from... Sure. And I wanted this to sound like it came out in the early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear.
That's basically all there is to it.
No, well, it works. It sounds at home there. It doesn't sound like polished, like you mentioned. And any fan of hardcore should not be bothered by that at all, you know. It should feel comfortable.
That's what I think as well.
Yeah.
I know it was a risky, like, you know, it may have been less risky if we just did a nice polished recording, whatever, but this shit just sounds better, more authentic, the way it is.
Yeah.
And I like it.
I do too, and I think other people will. I'm glad you guys get to go out there and start playing shows soon. Hopefully you can do a tour. Hopefully you can sell some records whenever they come in. If not, at least you have some fun doing it. Luke, thanks for taking the time to have the conversation.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a good night, man.
You too.
All right, later.
You say it's a pure irritation.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Luke, and the song you just heard was Father's Day, which we talked a little bit about from the Chasing Progress EP. I want to thank Luke for taking the time to have that conversation with me and help break down that EP and the lyrics within it. I appreciate that. Not a lot of people are willing to do that, so it's nice when somebody is. That's mostly going to be it for this one. I want to tell you that I do have the website kind of in hand now, and I don't know when that's officially rolling out, but it is. I can see it, and I love the way it looks, and I think you will too. You can follow me on Twitter at @getting_it_out_podcast. There's a Facebook page, facebook.com/gettingitoutpodcast, Twitter at @gettingitoutpod, and I think that's it as far as that goes. If you want to send me your music to play on the show, you can do that at dan@gettingitout.net. That's my email address. Send me whatever you want, questions, comments, whatever you got, dan@gettingitout.net. As always, I appreciate you for taking the time to listen. If you can share, if you can subscribe, if you can rate, if you can review, those things are all great. But most importantly, just thanks. Thanks for checking it out. I'm going to end this one with another one from the HBD Collective and a familiar guest from Getting It Out history. This is Living in Fear. The song is called Highway to Hell, and it's off the Coward's Path End Here LP. Check it out. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.